So last week I had trouble with a passage or two because I had left a line out of the passage and then I couldn't figure out just exactly what it said. So I'm going to start by reading the one that I didn't get right even through three tries last week. And we'll go from there. So, what I was saying was, every night at the close of each day, when you go to sleep and enter a dream world, are those dreams a summary and judgment of your day, or are they a preparation for tomorrow? Speak right up.
And I think that I said last week that it's a bit of both with me, that it's a review and of what's taken place and what I'd like to see tomorrow.
Well, do you understand that I said dreams are a summary and a judgment? Can you make a summary of yourself without in any way a judgment involved?
Not likely with me.
Oh, okay. So that if you think then the dreams are a both of those, then you are giving in to the judgments.
I would think you're correct.
Is that what you want to keep doing?
No, now that you've pointed it out, dreams can be something really different for me then.
Well, the point is, did you ever realize that you could make a choice? Or haven't you always thought, what are dreams all about? And then you try to figure out by somebody saying, well, they're about your life, regardless of how you think you're living your life, and then you carry that into some kind of a judgment. What if you have the choice of saying, no, I'll look at those only as preparation for tomorrow, not a summary and judgment of yesterday?
No, I didn't know that that choice was available to me, because I think even when we looked at dreams as something that would show us how we're living lives, that ended up, even though I identified how I was living my life, I was also inclined then to say, oh, Jesus Christ, what a fuck up, or whatever, something like that.
That's right. But even if I say to you the dreams are showing you how you're living your life, isn't that part of the preparation for tomorrow?
Yeah, if I'm absent the fuck up, yes.
If what?
Absent my judgment of a fuck up, yes, you're correct.
Oh, so then the issue in all of that is entirely up to you.
It would appear so, yes.
Yeah, I was kind of just thinking, you gave us as an either or, and I was thinking neither. I was thinking that it's data, information, and I get to decide how to use it.
But I just asked you, that's right, you just decide. Then how and in what way do you decide? Do you decide that they are a summary and judgment or of today and yesterday, or do you decide that they are preparation for tomorrow?
I option for, yes, preparation for tomorrow.
I didn't ask you what you option for. I said, which do you do?
Do I do? You mean like how I live my life every day?
When you think about your dreams, what do you do?
Well, I think I'm at 0 point now. I think I'll say that I
don't ask you what you say. I ask you, what do you or have you been doing?
I guess I've been looking at it as judgment up to now.
Okay, fine. Then, like a dream, it seems if you can make that choice as far as a dream, then like a dream, you can also declare that what you are living today is your life, and that it will be followed by a death, and that death is a summary and judges yourself and life today. Or you can live your life today as your death, in which you are preparing for the self and life you truly desire. If you have the choice with a dream, you see, you've always had that choice, and the dream, when we talk about it, is then give me a way in which you choose to understand your dreams, and the dream will give you that summary, or it'll give you that preparation. It's your choice. Who's got something going that we're getting an echo back? And in the same way, then, you get to live your life. And right now, I'm willing to say that everyone is living that this is life, followed by death, and death is in some way a summary of all the things you have done, like a life review, and a judgment by someone or yourself of this life. But nobody ever tells you that you could live your life today merely and only as preparation for the self and life you truly desire.
Yeah, I was going to say, of everything I've ever heard, read, or been exposed to, I've never heard it that way.
Well, I think years ago and ever since, I've said, if you take everything you've ever been told about life and turn it around 180 degrees, you'd be fairly close to what I'm trying to get across.
All right.
Since everybody else has set that up, for no, as we get into this thing, maybe we can discover that I have no idea why life was ever perceived in that way at all, but it's been an endless... And I don't mind saying the word. It's an endless screw up ever since. Life and the world around you continue while you exist within a sequence occurring within that continuous universe. Do you understand that?
No, you need to say it again for me.
If a dream can be you any way you want to, that dream is occurring within a continuous world or universe. If your life can be looked at from any perspective you choose in this regard, then it is occurring within the continuous universe. So, then in that regard, then your life, which seems to be sort of a sequence of life and death and life and death and life again, that sequence is occurring within a continuous universe occurring. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Well, if in the same way as you get to choose your dreams however you're living them, and your life however you're living them, then this sequence of life, death, life, etc., etc., within a continuous universe, that allows you to live life and then death within the sequence. Or you can live death then life in the sequence. That today is your death, and life follows, rather than today is your life and death follows. Did you ever consider that you had such an option?
No. Nope.
Do you want to consider? I mean, talk at me.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight is not going to... I'm not going to talk on my birthday and do everything. You have to do it. Now, talk at me.
Yes.
What if this is your death and then life? I asked everybody years ago, if you expect to have life after death, how do you know this isn't it already? What if this is your life review from before in a different form? Or what if this is your life after death and you're preparing yourself to live as you truly desire? How does that change your view of what you're doing today?
I guess everything has a different importance. It's not a matter of whether I'm going to, fail or be punished. It's like I have options, I have time, I have, in a sense, freedom, and I have anticipation of what my what I'm going to be able to do for myself every day.
So then it gives you all this anticipation and maybe excitement.
That's right.
Rather than you're living the fear or anticipation of death.
The other thing it does is it kind of changed it for me in that there's no counterbalance. There's no side that I'll fail or lose. It's just not part of that picture as we've talked about it. There's no.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that there's no duality in that?
Yeah, that's right. It's just a matter of how I get there, not whether I will. I mean, get there is just a matter because we're headed that direction. But that's all. That's all it means. It doesn't mean I won't. It doesn't. It just the question is, will I do it as I wanted to, as well as I wanted to, and that's about it.
So, this being your life followed by death, actually that whole perspective of things kind of creates the dualities in your life, and that followed by the judgment.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I'm just asking.
I'm keeping up here, so...
Come on, Patrick. You got to get in here too, if we're going to have a discussion. Because at one point, if we don't get any discussion going out of all of this, and you'll see that in a minute, why? Then I'll just quit. It's my birthday, and I'll quit if I want.
Yeah, it's your birthday. You can goddamn well do what you want. Got a question. We're using the term death, and you proposed a moment ago that maybe this is already life after death.
Okay.
And that from another existence. What kind of death are we talking about here?
Well, you tell me. This is the point. I'm proposing this. Now, don't you ask me if you're living your life, your death today in preparation for life, what the hell kind of death are you talking about here?
I seem to be stuck is that I'm thinking about body death, and
so what? Then
I think there's a bit of
then discuss it from a body death. Discuss it from a you death.
Well, body death. If I live this life where I'm living right now, really identified with my body, and I think my body is me. But hang on a sec. Since we've talked before that the body is the soul, and that the body is also the eternal being, then that's. Oh, that's right. Death ends up being something quite different then.
What? You see, I've been saying all these things, and you guys have been sort of listening. Well, what the hell did you hear? See, it doesn't do me any good to keep saying, because it all means something to me. Death, then life, and that turns a whole lot of things on their ear that we do. And as Andrew said, well, gee, if you live your death today in preparation for a life tomorrow, then judgments and all of that kind of stuff just go away. You don't even have to struggle against judgments or right or wrong or anything of that nature. All you have to do is change or see the order or pattern or the universe in an entirely different way, and then everything changes.
Well, you said that life is a sequence within a continuing universe.
Well, what I said was that if we talk about life, then death, then life again, and then death again, and then life again, which, you know, it's like reincarnation or living after life or spiritual after physical, and then all of that kind of stuff, then that's when you're in the midst of a sequence of that nature, you can't tell where you are.
No, that's right. That's a very fundamental point.
If you're in that sequence, you can't tell whether life precedes death, death follows life, or death precedes life.
And which phase am I in right now?
And you don't know in that, and this is like the nature of the universe being so plenary that it can be as it is, and is as you want it to be, and as Andrew wants it to be, and as Sally wants it to be. So you get a choice. And you look at your dream. What?
So there, in this discussion right now, we're not looking for the way that it works.
There is no the way.
So I want it to work for me.
Oh, now you were getting to understand that when I have said life will be to you however you want it to be. And I'm trying to show that to you, and I want you then to discuss, wait a minute, then this is how I want my life to be, or I want life to be, and that's the way I want to live my life, and see then if, like the changes that Andrew talks about in that regard, and I've got a few more, we'll find out. And so then the answer is that if you turned it around to this is your death, and it is preparing you for life, the same way as dreams each night can be either, well, boy, you screw up, or, hey, look about this for tomorrow or next day or whatever, which would you choose? You're in the midst of life, so you think this is life, whatever you even mean by that. And that no life or death follows, whatever you mean by that. And you've been wrestling around for 60 years and a few other lifetimes trying to figure this out. You can't figure that out, so why don't you stop and say, then I get to choose.
It's amazing here that all the notions of living as I truly desire come in what I've been thinking, come to an abrupt end when I die, when my body dies.
That's right. And you gave up doing or living as you truly desire to live, to get, hopefully, some reasonable degree of judgment, so that maybe you would win the praise and salvation promised by religion.
Or some variation on that theme.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a bitch.
So, all right, son of a bitch doesn't give us a good enough answer. Let's get some discussion going about that.
Well, I guess that then you pose the quandary of you don't even know, you said, or words to the effect, whether you are in life preparing for death or in death preparing for life. And I was thinking while you were saying that, then, gee, I have to figure out how that works.
No.
Oh, no, I know.
It doesn't work how you want to work it.
How I want it to work.
Oh. All of a sudden, you're saying to me, gee, I get to choose how life works? You're kidding me.
Had I never considered that it would be involved up to and including this?
But that's what I've been saying all along.
I've missed it. And when you've said that the universe is plenary, I hadn't realized how thoroughly and completely plenary it is.
second passage of book 1a, it says it's so plenary that life, the universe is as it is, and it is as you are, or as Andrew is, or Simone is, or whoever is. It is so complete that it can, but see, that doesn't make any sense in languaging. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
No.
Because languaging prevents you, languaging and the structure of languaging and the judgments of languaging force you into a concept of thinking that you can't escape from.
It's into a this or that. It can't be both or more.
It can't be? All right, here's a question for you then, Patrick, since you bring that up. Can you do something that you are not doing? And I don't mean by that, can you do something you're not conscious of doing? I mean, directly, specifically, can you do something you are not doing, yes or no? And, wait just a minute now. what I have to say is, obviously, you have to get out of languaging. You have to think your way out of languaging or whatever and into describing your answer. No is not sufficient. Tell me why you can't do something that you are not doing. Or...
That I can only...
Or...
Do whatever.
Wait a minute. Or maybe you shouldn't try to justify what you're not doing. Maybe what you should do is say, well, I don't know, but let's see now. How can it be that I can be doing something that I am not doing? Why won't you live your life that way? Andrew, do you want to jump here on this? I asked you this question 3 days ago.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember exactly how I want to answer this, or decide I want to answer it. Let me see. Yeah, the answer is yes. You can do something you're not doing. Like, for example,
be very careful now. Be careful
well,
now.
I want to illustrate something.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say. Describe it. Don't illustrate it. Describe
it.
Okay, describe
it. I can do something, right? I'm doing an action. And that action has, it takes place, and from that action in the next moment, there are, consequences and events emergent in life, and emergent from what I was doing.
What do you mean?
So
what do you mean?
I only did.
What do you mean?
I only did what I.
What
I mean,
do you, what do you mean? Don't try to pass off from saying, "Oh, well, there's consequences and there's emergent in life." We don't
there's
know what.
Properties that occurred that
what?
There's things suddenly available in my life, around my life that weren't there before I did the action, but I only did the action.
Come on. That doesn't mean anything. That's a crappy. I didn't say whether there was things around you in your life. I said, can you do something you are not doing? We didn't talk about things that occur in your life that you're not doing.
Oh, then I guess.
Would you like to have the power to do something in your life that you are not doing?
Well, I guess depends on what it is. Possibly, yeah.
See? No, 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 no. Patrick, we'll switch to you. Can you do something?
Well, I'll switch to somebody else. Switch to anybody else. Patrick and I.
Well, because you and Patrick seem to be the only ones that really want to respond here.
I could call on somebody.
Huh? I'm not calling on somebody. I'm expecting you guys to start participating in such a way then that we can carry on a conversation of how these things then you see them affecting your life or not affecting your life. And then we'll want to listen, can damn well just listen and whatever. But I want to get other people, you maybe it only down to you and Patrick and Sally once in a while and Helena once in a while, I don't know. I want to get you participating.
Can I describe doing something that I'm not doing?
What?
Can I describe doing something that I'm not doing?
Sure.
Can I have a go at it?
Sure.
Okay, so what if I'm imagining I'm doing it and I'm not doing it?
What do you mean by that?
I'm imagining eating a chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
On the one hand, my body isn't doing that, but I am.
Yeah, but you are imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do something like imagining that you are not imagining? Now, I don't mean imagining what you're doing, because now we're talking about consequences and objects of the verb. I'm talking about only in the verb nature.
I don't think I follow you.
Well, you said that. You said I can imagine I'm eating a cookie, but let's say I'm not eating a cookie. What I said is, yeah, but you're imagining, and you are that subject. In other words, can you imagine? It's like, can a thought think of itself? Can you imagine not imagining?
So, but I was talking about eating the cookie. You're talking about imagining.
That's right. When I say, can you do something, I'm talking about the doing, not imagining that you're doing something when you're not doing it. I'm talking the doing, so the doing is the imagining. Can you imagine something you are not imagining? Or that you are not imagining.
And I am not imagining.
Yeah.
I'm sure I can. I quite know how.
Well, that's a good start here, because if you can do that or understand doing that, might that not change your life or things in the sense that you can all of a sudden find that you're doing something that you're really not doing. And maybe, like I've said before, wait a minute, now, let me see. As I've said before, you never judge the actions, you judge the consequences. So, maybe if you're doing something that you're not doing, but then where does the judgment come in? And you switch the consequences and not the doing.
Well, the judgment would be trying to decide whether I'm doing it or not and making that a truth.
Well, what we usually do with judgments is we say the consequences were good or bad and you did it, so you're bad for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it'd be pretty hard to judge it if I could say I am doing it and I'm not doing it.
Well, this is part of the point. We said earlier, sort of, that if life is a preparation and not a life and then followed by death and all of that kind of stuff, then maybe we take another look at judgment. You know, we've got ourselves so addicted to judgments, and the other half of the people are addicted to not judging or doing something. Calling it some other name doesn't make any difference. We're still doing the same stuff. And then we say, oh, we got to judge lovingly.
Roger?
Yeah?
This is Tina. Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Hi, I'm trying to get a little bit better clarification. Would this, I'm going to give you what I hope is a description. Somebody who thinks that they're dieting. So they're eating something that they think is going to benefit losing weight or improve their health, and yet
you're focused on consequences, Helena. I'm not. I'm focusing on the action itself, because
the action itself,
not the consequences. I don't really, I guess, care about the consequences per se. I'm only interested in the action.
So now, are you looking at how somebody thinks about that action?
Wait, no. I'm talking about the action. I said it's about the action. It's not whether you're conscious of that, and it's not what you think of that. It's not what somebody else thinks. I'm just trying to. Damn, if we're going to get out of this language world that's got us tied up in the knot somehow or other, we got to be able to say, like this little thing here, if you could show yourself one possible example, then that becomes a white crow in the sense that, wait a minute, everything that happens isn't caused necessarily, or gee, there's a whole lot going on that I'm not aware of, or I'm doing things in my life that I'm not even doing.
What about dreaming?
What about it?
I'm doing something.
No, you're dreaming that you are doing something. And I'm talking about the dreaming itself, not what you are dreaming or the consequences of what you're dreaming or etc. You've changed the subject. I am dreaming that something has occurred. Everything after dreaming, I don't care about.
What if I'm dreaming swimming?
What about it?
Doesn't matter.
You're dreaming swimming. You're focused on swimming, not on dreaming. Can you dream that you are not dreaming? That's not the right way. You see what I'm talking? This is the way language has us limited and tied up. And I'm saying, I've given you simple examples before many, many times for the last bunch of years, and I just thought I'd go back and revisit that.
So the question is, can I dream and not dream at the same time?
Essentially so.
Yep. Sure.
How?
Why not?
How?
Hello?
Wait a minute, it doesn't do you any good to say, sure, why not, unless you can give me one example of how why not could be so, because then your whole life can change.
I'm tempted to split my brain in two and say part of me is dreaming and part of me isn't.
Wait a minute now. What if we put that on the shelf over here? Because you're saying then maybe there's two of you and one is dreaming and one is not.
Yeah, I am a Gemini after all.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So half of you is and half of you isn't in that regard. That sort of gives us a different point of view, but let's take the whole Gemini for a start. We don't want half a Gemini.
Okay. So, dream. Can I dream? Can I dream and not dream at the same time? So, can I dream that I'm not dreaming?
Well, can you think of. Can a thought think of itself thinking? The answer, of course, is. That's just a tangle of words and languages. But what I'm saying is, maybe the fact that language says you're either dreaming or you're not dreaming, or that you're doing something or not doing something, that you're causing something or you're not causing something, is really, really, really putting the screws to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it is.
Well. And I don't necessarily have all the answers or any of this stuff, especially as we continue from here. I could describe how I think this could come about, but then if I describe that and then you put that into your life, as I've asked you guys for as shoot, it's 16 years. Back when I was a youngster, how would that change your life? And what you did is you bastardized what I said to put it back into the assumption that you can't do something that you are not doing.
Well, I vaguely remember this from before, and I know that there's... I can't remember the answer.
I never... What's the answer? Tell me, if you want to do that, the issue is, hey, if I want to do that, then how do I want to do that? What if life, that's all life is saying? Okay, you want to do that? Sure. How do you want to do that?
I might be, I'll remove the mic. I'm a little bit dumb on this one, that I can't even conceive of doing and not doing at the same time.
You see, if I've got nowhere else, what I've said, how addicted, and the word's even worse than that I should be using here, you are to language.
Uh-huh.
Well?
Roger.
Helena?
Hey, Roger. Yes. Okay, I've got another idea because I'm trying to grasp this. Okay, if I'm thinking of, in other words, you've got the eternal being and the personal being, and if the personal being, well, if one of, if this is where I'm getting, I'm confusing myself, but if one of them is thinking about, like, the person, the personal being would be thinking about something they wanted to create in life, and the other being almost like goes into a dream state where they're bringing up other memories or other situations where such a thing could exist, so that the one who is not really dreaming takes a look at the one that is dreaming and kind of looks at it and say, oh, well, that really wouldn't work, but now this one looks interesting. How could we pursue this and make it real, you know, for both of us? Is that sort of a direction?
No, we can set that aside. That just, you know what I've listened, or not listened, I've learned in, man, I have really had some... a lot of hours of discussions this last week, which kind of got me into some of this stuff, because I was spending 5 hours a day on the telephone. One thing I've learned, you don't really give a damn about the universe as long as it gives you what you want. You don't even care how the universe functions. You don't care what's going on, as long as it goes on the way you want it to go on. So what I'm trying to get at here is, and that's true, you really don't. And what I'm trying to get at here is, how do you want it to go on? And then, from that, maybe we can find out, well, damn, you know, the universe has been doing that all along. Trying to go at this a different way. How do you want it to go on? And my voice has attracted the cat on the roof, and he's just running around the roof. Well, let me ask you something. We'll say, this is just a in-your-face example. If you are putting two parts of hydrogen together with one part of oxygen, what are you doing?
Mixing something.
Combining something.
Are you creating water Yes or no?
No.
Thank you, Simone. So, let me ask you another question. If you're putting hydrogen, two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen together, and for some reason or other, you got water. Did you cause water? Was that what you were doing? Were you doing causing water?
I did put two constituents together.
Okay. Let's go on further than that. If you get cohesion properties and you get flowability property, did you cause those things?
No.
Oh, so you could be putting hydrogen and oxygen together, but you're not causing water and you're not causing properties.
But I do get water.
But you didn't cause it, so that's not something that you did. And you sure as hell, even if we say to you, yeah, but you wouldn't have gotten it if you didn't put it together. But you didn't cause water, so you're not causing water. You're only putting things together in that regard. And you sure as hell did not, or are not, in putting those together, causing the properties of water, are you?
No.
So that
was somehow in my brain is maybe the not doing the emergent part of something I do.
I don't understand what you said, Simone.
In the example of water.
Yeah.
I do put two constituents together.
That's all you're doing?
Yes, but something is coming out.
But you're not doing it.
I didn't do. Yes.
Well, okay, so wait a minute. Then you're not causing the consequences.
Exactly.
But I'm judging you for the consequences.
Damn right. Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Now, if that's true, then maybe all of your life is emergent and has nothing whatsoever to do with what you're doing.
Can be.
Well,
it would also be nice to.
Well, this is truth. Could it not be that what you are doing has nothing to do with what you're doing? Because you ain't doing it.
Yes.
Does anybody want to tackle this?
You can't cause or uncause anything. So the doing, not doing, is constituent emergent. It has nothing to do with trying to do something to get somewhere and say you did it.
Okay. But the question is, could you create can you create the self and life that you truly desire by not doing that?
That's the only way you could do it.
You're shitting me. But you see what we've just twisted the guts out of language.
Right, exactly.
And you come back and say, the only possible way that I can create the self and life I truly desire is don't do it. I've been saying that for 20 years and everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. Well,
that makes sense.
Does it make Buddhist sense? Or does it make real sense?
It makes real sense.
And the reason I asked you that question is because you don't care about these little twists of Buddhism or twists of language or the universe must work for the dumb and stupid, as well as the people who think they know what they're talking about.
Thank God.
But that doesn't include any of us.
No, we fall in a different category.
That's right.
Have you got some okays with this, Patrick, or Andrew, or whatever?
I'm hung up on the reliability of putting oxygen and hydrogen together. I can't help but get water. It's reliably so.
So? But you're not doing that. And now we're talking about consequences. And I'm not talking about the consequences of getting water. I'm talking about, are you doing the creating of water?
Directly, no.
Ah, so then exactly what you're saying. You can do something that you're not doing.
So I can make water without making water.
Doesn't that make sense to you?
Now it does.
Can you make the, is it possible, do you say, that you could make the self and life you truly desire without making the self and life you truly desire?
Yes.
No. Oh, you see how dumb that sounds, and yet when you really, really, really think about it, hey, wait a minute, it gives me a whole different perspective on my life. Maybe my problems have always been that I've been trying to create the life I love, I desire. We
that's
okay?
That's becausing.
What?
That's becausing.
In a sense, it is in that regard. Yep. But all I'm really answering, even if I give it a word, and as a scientific or universal or worldly, this is what the hell's going on. I want to know is, how could you take that and put that into simple terms for telling a child or speaking to somebody to tell them, you know, you really can do something you're not doing. How would you play? That's what I'm asking you tonight to think about. How would you say that to someone else, to tell them that? And how would you say that to yourself, to tell yourself that you can do that? You can be creating the self and life you truly desire by not creating the self and life you truly desire.
That puts a kind of a different spin on preparing.
Well, that's what we're getting back to in all of this, aren't we? If you
Roger, is that related to your true nature?
Well, I think somewhere, yeah. I think obviously all of these things relate. My question is, how would you then want to take that function and relate it to your true nature?
The function of doing but not doing. Is that what you mean by the function?
Yeah. I'm not really trying to, you know, screw up semantics. I'm trying to take the unscrew of semantics and say this is the way it is and say, well, maybe it's not. And I'm trying to get you to say, okay, or to think about, well, okay. Imagine what it would be like to live your life in this way, that you didn't have to go out and do the things that you wanted directly, that in doing that you almost thwart yourself.
Right. But then you're still trying to cause or create or become.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question then. It, can you be preparing for the life that you truly desire by not preparing for the life you truly desire?
That has to follow.
Sure.
Sure, but what does it mean? Let's not just fall into language structure and get stuck there. That's what Aristotle did. What does it mean? Nothing I say about the universe has any meaning or significance to you unless it is personally understandable, awareful, and usable by you. Anything else, you don't care. You don't care what happens about black holes and event horizons and suck them in, spew them out, this dimension or that dimensions or these things or those things. You see, scientists have so screwed themselves by language that they invent all sorts of weird things, and religion does the same thing, and then you do that in yourself, to make language work for you. Well, wait a minute. If you're doing this to make language work for you, then there must be an idea, an image, a concept that you have that language just doesn't fit. And so you pass new language laws, or you change the word around, or do all sorts of manipulations. I can't believe that life has to be that difficult. Maybe life just says, you know, hey, you imagine it and we'll do it. Hello, anybody?
Yep, that makes sense.
I'm not getting a whole lot of communication going here. Go get a glass of wine and come back.
I'm not even drinking any, so there you go.
I didn't say you were. I said go get one. See? Well, here is another question, if we can't get past this one. Can you continue without continuing? If you could say you can do something that you're not doing, then can you continue without continuing?
Oh, I think that, yeah.
Oh, well, come on. Think, yeah. You're just following the words. Give me a description.
Okay, so do we have to look more closely at the words that you're actually using?
You have to, if my words of my question are correct, you must stay within the structure of those words and what we have prior said.
So in just the concept of preparing, there's really no causing in that? In continuing, there's no causing in that?
Yeah, Dada, you're using words. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. I'm just looking at the language pattern. Can you?
I know, but maybe you want to get out of the language pattern and look at what you want in your life, and then go back and say, well, language may not let me do that, but screw language, that's what I want to do. I don't know. You can do anything you want to.
Well, then I'm not causing anything or trying to cause anything.
Well, then you're just consequenting.
Okay.
You're not doing anything. You're consequenting. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying, if you proceed forward like the language does, like the next step, like something follows ahead, then it's a... Then you're stuck in language. But if you don't get stuck in that, then you go backwards, just like in talking about eternity.
But if I talk to you in those terms, you'd say, what are you talking about? You want me to live my life backwards? It's got to make, the description itself has got to make some reasonable sense. Doesn't have to make language sense, but it's got to have reasonable sense for me to want to be that or do that, and for you as well.
Right.
Because otherwise, in an hour, we're going to hang up and everybody's going to say, what the hell was that all about?
Yeah, I'm just stuck in the words, obviously.
I know, and the point of it is, we got up against a wall 6 weeks ago because you wanted to continue, and I say you don't continue. Okay, then, can you continue without continuing? Because if you want to continue, then you have to do continuing things. And what continuing things do you do to continue? Well, I don't know.
Gee,
we better have a God that'll be, will smile down on me. You see how we keep adding something else and something else and something else to make it work out? How the hell with God? What do you want? How do you want to live your life? Well, I am prepared to just throw it all in if nobody's really, really, really want to discuss this. I didn't. What are you afraid to talk about these kinds of things?
I'm talking. That's.
Oh, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all the quiet ones.
Oh, okay, quiet ones. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Come out, wherever you are. Okay, Pat, your turn. Patrick, your turn. I heard that laugh.
Okay, well, I think what we're talking about here is that the only thing that's available to us that I can come up with is living only that which I'd be prepared to live eternally and have done unto me eternally. That's the only thing I can come up with in which I prepare without preparing, and I continue without continuing.
How does that... How does that continue without continuing? I don't understand that.
Everything that I am and do, let's see, part of what I am is available, will be available in a future time frame, from the genes that I have propagated liberally around the West Coast of North America, that there will be aspects of me that are available for another life to pick up and live as they see fit. The stuff that I'm willing to live, be, and live eternally will be an energy imprint on my eternal being that will be in mind and will be available to be accessed by any life, and in that I continue without continuing.
So, I could continue you.
You can certainly do that.
Oh, and Weird Sally could continue you.
Aw, nice Sally cat,
yeah. Yeah, but I don't have my genes just splayed out all over the West Coast like Patrick does, so.
Yeah, really?
So
I have
you...
some questions about that later, Patrick, but that's okay. Continue. Oh, whoops, I mean, don't continue.
I have questions, too.
Okay.
About Patrick and his genes splayed all over the West Coast.
No, I was Sally.
We'll talk later.
Remember, anybody can hack into email. Anything you put in print is open for Facebook discovery.
Or wherever, yeah.
Yeah. So, then you could continue you without continuing.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Way back in your life, you have some sort of a life called samurai. Could you be continuing samurai without samurai continuing?
Yes. I very much am continuing samurai, and samurai is done and over with, but I am continuing samurai.
So samurai is continuing.
Correct.
And yet samurai is not continuing.
That's correct.
So you're doing something that you're not doing.
Son of a gun, that's correct.
Oh, really, really, really. Let me say, we're into Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. What went on?
The constituents of whoever was being beamed up were disassociated and then reassembled later according to the pattern.
So, Captain Kirk on the ship was not the Captain Kirk that was on the planet, but got beamed up.
No. No, because Captain Kirk discontinued on the planet, and a new Captain Kirk was assembled.
But that was Captain Kirk, but it wasn't the continuing of Captain Kirk.
That's correct.
So Captain Kirk continued without continuing.
Yes.
You see and experience birth and death. Is it reasonable to presume life and death or physical and spiritual from that?
Is it reasonable, do you ask?
Yeah. In light of what we're beginning to say here, if you see and experience birth and death, yours or others' birth, and we hope for the moment anyway, somebody else's death, is it reasonable to presume life and death or physical and spiritual?
Hmm. No.
Do you suppose I would have gotten that answer 6 months ago?
Oh, hell no.
So, what we're saying here is, even in what we're doing here, is you can be doing something that you're not doing. You can continue without continuing. To see something as, say, birth and death, it is not reasonable at all to presume that one is life and one is death. Nor is it reasonable to assume that one is physical and one is spiritual. And yet your life and everything you ever done has founded on that wild-ass presumption. Well, let me ask you a question this way. Is it possible that you are living your death today, preparing, and you will never live the life, self and life you truly desire?
Can you repeat that, please?
Could you imagine that in, as we said, life, death, life, death, life, death, that you are living your death today, preparing, and you will never, ever live the self and life you truly desire?
Yes.
Explain.
Well, that's I get tied up on time a bit here, but let's say for a moment that it's along the same line of continuing without continuing. That in preparing, and I'm in depth, you're saying, and in preparing, then can't live. Just a sec, I've just gone backwards, haven't I?
I don't know. We haven't figured out where you're going.
I was just thinking my head.
You see, so
no, I can't.
Do you understand that if you're living by the images, if they are so vitally important in your life, do you not see that you're almost impossible for you to image outside of language? And language takes, what, half of your life and throws it away.
At least half.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
My question is, if you see and experience birth and death, is it reasonable to presume life and death, or physical and spiritual?
And we established a moment ago, no, that's not reasonable.
Well, I don't think we established it, because the no isn't valid unless you can describe. Well, then I should maybe ask this way. Would you like to live your life without life and death, or without physical and spiritual?
Yeah, life and death. Isn't life and death the kind of prime duality?
Well, I don't care.
As it's structured within language?
I don't care. What has time got to do with it? You can have birth and death. What? Does it make any difference if you have birth today and death tomorrow? Or birth today and death 60 years from now? Does it make any difference?
I didn't bring up the word, I didn't use the word time.
Oh, I thought, what did you say?
I said it was the prime
example. I thought you said time. Okay. I think, yes, birth and death is a prime example of duality. And it may be the foundation of all dualities. So my question is, if you experience birth and death, and presumably you have, maybe your own or someone else's, is it reasonable to presume life and death, or physical and spiritual?
I think of life as physical and death as spiritual, because one is a physical something, everyday body, and the other is a concept of no body, non-physical.
Well, I hate your answer. And that's physical. That's physical, and you can't see it. That's not a spiritual hate. If you're going to say, if you can't see it, that it's spiritual, I'm going to argue that point until I'm blue in the face. What?
What I'm saying is that's the conclusion that I would jump to.
Well, I know. Why? I'm trying to get you to say, well, no, wait a minute. I don't want to jump to that conclusion. That's stupid.
That's usually where the language concept and that duality and life, death is a versus one versus the other.
Sally, I ask you, is it reasonable to presume life and death, or physical and spiritual? There's no reason, or it isn't reasonable at all, to presume those things or to build a case for them.
Right, but so... So, yeah, so it's not reasonable.
So then... I'm trying to get you to the point where up to now it seemed reasonable.
Yeah, we did.
What if it's not reasonable? Could you change your whole life and world around by merely saying, "That's stupid"?
Yeah, that's stupid.
Now, what is it then? Just because you see birth and death, you see yourself up and awake. And walking around, then you see yourself sleeping or somebody else. Does that mean
right.
sleeping and awake is life and death?
Oh.
But you've been thinking, and 10,000 years people have been thinking that's valid.
So are you saying, inferring, hinting at, that sleeping is a form of death?
No. Aren't you still alive?
Right.
So then it's a form of life. Can't we say then, just as earnestly then, death is a form of life? You're still alive.
Okay, so you're still alive in death.
Well, I'm just saying, isn't that reasonable? And what is, if you want to continue, just like would you say that Captain Kirk died on the planet and was resurrected in the airship?
Right.
So he continued but didn't continue. Could you be alive in death? Could you continue in death?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, well, then, that's right. Well, then maybe we should talk. Wait a minute. Come to think of all of this, maybe life is only about death. It has nothing to do with life. Can you always be preparing and never preparing for the life you truly desire and never be able to live the self and life you truly desire?
Yes.
Well, how come?
I can prepare in life and I can prepare in death.
No. I don't necessarily agree with that, but you're just using words, and I want to know, describe what could be going on that you could be preparing for life and never live the life you're preparing for. And I'm going to turn this around too, somewhere in here. How is that possible?
Say that one more time, Roger. You can be preparing.
If we said earlier, which we did, how do you know this isn't death and that in this death you are preparing for life?
Right.
Whatever.
Okay.
Life is your truly desire or life. Is it possible that in death you are always preparing but never attaining? Let's put it that way. In other words, how could it be that you are always dead? Is that a possible thing? That you are always dead? Because if it's possible to think of you're always dead and never alive, you can just as well think of you're always alive and never dead. But is it possible then that you're always preparing for the self and life you truly desire, but you can never live the self and life you truly desire?
Because if you live the life you truly desire, then you're still trying to cause something.
Oh, so then there is, as we said before, maybe then that you can't cause it in that regard. So
right.
Your preparing is, in a sense, trying to be able to cause it.
Right.
So as soon as you get try to live it, which you think is life living it, then you're into cause. So it's probably better off that you're dead, because then you don't have to try to cause to live it.
Okay, let's give this an example. Suppose, or description. Suppose in my life today that I am living, since I'm living in a sequence of life, death, life, death, life, or whatever.
Okay.
And I've never known whether this is life or death. What if this is death, always preparing for life? Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then I die, and then I'm alive. How do I know when I'm alive whether that's not really death preparing to be alive?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
So you're always living life, you could say in this regard, you're always preparing, and no matter what you do, you're always preparing, but you're never arriving.
That's great, because it puts in perspective the concept of the past life and half-life regression and all that.
So that even in the next life, or the next life, or the next moment, or the next whatever,
you're still preparing for the death, and you don't know whether you're... I love it.
You're preparing you're still preparing for the life, you're not living the life. Well, wait a minute.
Right.
Maybe in the life you are living, you are actually preparing and
death.
Never really living. No, the life you're living is the death you're living.
Is death, okay.
Okay, then, and that you're always preparing, and you're never arriving.
Okay.
You see, what we've got now is we're doing things in life to prepare for death, or prepare for salvation, forgiveness, etc.
Right.
Well.
Right.
But that's an ending. That's a conclusion.
That's
never
right.
a
that's
thing.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, I like that.
So you're always preparing. Okay. What are you preparing for?
Preparing for not living the life I truly desire.
In essence, what you're saying is that the object of the life, or the object of the preparing, is a nonsensical redundancy.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. That means that the preparing that you are living is the continuing you will continue.
That's right. But it's a constituent kind of, it's an emergent kind of thing. It's not a cause-effect kind of thing.
Well, okay, then what we're saying in that, then, emergent, if we were, goes back in there, is the universe functioning to support.
Yes.
Because you're doing one thing and not doing something else, yet getting properties or much more than even what you're doing.
Right.
Oh. So you're... You can be doing the crappiest little thing and, in fact, getting the wisdom of the universe from that crappy little thing.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wondered that. But then the point of all of this seems to be is, then, do you have a right to judge yourself or me or anybody else? Unless you truly know what I am doing, or what I am preparing for, etc., what you think I may be doing based on what consequences you presume that I did, which I didn't did.
Right. Yeah.
So how is it then that you would like to imagine and live your life? For instance, in what we're saying here, can we say then from some of this that maybe who you are, who you have been, and who you will be depends entirely upon your imaginings. Nothing else is necessary or even required.
Yes.
Oh, so then who you are doesn't depend on what you do.
Yes.
Oh, then you could be creating and doing yourself by not creating and doing yourself. Is this okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Sure enough, following along nicely.
Well, you remember the old saying, the story about poor old Einstein when he, in what, 1905, when he was talking about his general theory, special theory of relativity. And he was saying everything is in motion, and the guy got up and said, "Oh, come on, Al, you know that if everything is in motion and moving around and changing and et cetera, then we're really screwed because we can't know anything simply because we got to have a fixed point around which to know everything." And then Einstein said, "Well, I'll tell you what, George, you know everything in your field and everything in your life relative to some fixed point that you choose. Just choose a point. It doesn't make a difference. And Sally over here, why, she'll choose another point and she'll know everything relative to her chosen point. And then the two of you can talk real informed by merely knowing the relationship between your fixed point and her fixed point. Sounds good, doesn't it?" And then Big Al said, "You know, of course, the fixed point, in since you know everything in your life only relative to yourself, then that must be your fixed point. Yourself must be your fixed point in life. What if that's not true? What if you are living, changing, dying, all of this thing? Then this fixed point of yourself, hey, as we said before, you are somebody today and somebody different in your next life. So you cannot be your fixed point for knowing everything in the universe. Now what are you going to do?" Big Al was right, but Big Al was wrong. But he was right, and he says, of course, if you don't know yourself, then that means then that you can't know anything in the universe. Maybe he was right about that. But what are you going to do to solve the problem?
Sounds like our fixed point would be changing.
Well, that's right.
Become familiar with the new fixed point.
Then everything goes down the tube. How quickly do you know, how would you, if you don't have a fixed point in that regard, how would you know that your fixed point changed?
Well, if everybody can choose a fixed point, are we able to choose our own fixed point when we come back?
Well, when you come back, I'm talking about today, tomorrow, and next week.
Well, are we able to choose our fixed point now?
Well, let's assume that it is. What fixed point will you choose?
Isn't that sort of what you're trying to get us to answer for ourselves?
Well, maybe so. We're not doing, or I'm not succeeding very well, but okay, let's assume that's the case. What fixed point are you going to choose?
I have to admit, I can't describe that.
Well, then, if you can't describe your fixed point, you don't have a point to which it's, you can know all things in the universe.
Yes, I've kind of become aware of that.
Oh, and so what the hell are you going to do now? Remember, whatever you're going to do, it's got to be simple, 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 even for the dumb shits. Well, anybody want to participate in this, Andrew? You've been out of this. Patrick? Come back.
got into the habit of just, if I got into the habit of focusing on whoever I want to become, I don't know who that will be in the next situation, but that's where my focus is, preparing more than being.
Well, you might be close enough there, but why on who you want to become?
Well, I guess because we were saying, the reason I said that is because I thought that you would, I was focusing on it, you're going to lose that in the next life, and then how good would that be?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was trying to find something more useful.
Well, you're doing just fine finding something more useful. I don't object to it, but why what you want to become? Because then you would only see yourself becoming that, not becoming that, doing that,
yeah.
Not doing that.
Well, okay, because the premise I'm following is that my life is preparing for my death. This death is preparing for my life that I want to live. So you're right. There's a becoming problem there, isn't there?
Yeah. Patrick, you want to take over and glorify us?
Short answer is, this is one of the places I keep on getting buggered up.
Well, instead of who you want to become, could you imagine who you are and be that? In other words, maintain who you imagine you are and maintain that, and that be your fixed point. You can't be a fixed point, but you could establish imagining who you are, and that could be a fixed point, and that would allow you to know all things in the universe.
Right.
Don't tell me what you are or what you want. Tell me who you imagine that you are.
Hey, Rod, got a question for you then. If that's what I'm doing, and I can see that, then what am I preparing?
Fine. What are you preparing? You see?
I guess I'm preparing...
Careful now.
Oh, it's a good question.
Careful now. Don't fall into language. You see, language says you've got to have an object or the preparing doesn't make sense. That the minute you put the object in there, then preparing doesn't make sense.
Right. So
can't you always be preparing?
Yeah, right.
Preparing who you already are.
What?
Preparing who you already are.
No, who you are is preparing. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the don't fall in language warning.
Don't fall into the preparing for what?
Yeah.
The object of the verb. Can't you always live your life preparing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. I'm going to see if I get this right now. Andrew, listen carefully. If I always do things, only those things that I would be willing to do and live forever and have done unto me, am I not in that preparing?
Indeed, I am.
Oh, and it doesn't matter. Wait a minute. It doesn't matter then. What occurs, the consequences are of no concern in that regard, because whatever it is, if I'm only doing, or in that regard preparing, living those things which I would do and live forever and have done unto me, then whatever does occur, it will be as you truly desire.
Yeah.
But if you try to prepare for being as you truly desire, you're going to bitch it up, because the first question you're going to say to yourself is, what do I do now?
Yeah, what do I need to do to prepare for?
That's right. Now, if I take the four out of there, which doesn't matter anyway, and say, okay, can't you, in everything you do, do only those things that you'd be willing to do forever and ever, and that's preparing. And what are you preparing for? Whatever occurs, you are prepared for that.
Right. Yeah, that's a great use of the language problem right there.
You see?
Yeah.
But when you have to know what you are preparing, you just got yourself screwed.
Right.
Are you willing to be so prepared for no matter what occurs?
Yeah, right.
If your car dies, and your refrigerator dies, and your freezer dies, and your microwave dies, you're prepared.
So Roger, it's Helena again. If I want to spend my life making connections, I can make any connection I want at any time, come back to life, and still make more connections.
You see? You're prepared in that for making connections no matter what occurs.
Yes, and it makes everything that occurs, all the random occurrences,
are connected,
enjoyable.
Or can be connected, or you can connect them. But in that then, since you only do those things that you'd be willing to do forever and ever and have done unto you, then those are the connections in your life. Oh, well, what's so wrong with that?
Oh, no, I like that.
And then it doesn't matter what occurs in your life. You can connect that to yourself.
Whatever
and
I want.
To yourself and life. And it will make sense to you because the self and life that you truly desire in that regard is the self whom you imagine yourself to be.
At that time.
No, at all time. It isn't a variable. You imagine. See, you have imagined yourself to be from the very beginning. When I ask you about your beginning story, tell me about your beginning story. That beginning story conveys the self you have imagined yourself to be. That's your true nature, by the way.
Yes.
So then you have that, and everything around it makes sense only relative to whom you've imagined yourself to be. The problem is, like Einstein said, you don't know who you are. You follow what teaching, religion, etc. may have said, but you are not willing to follow who you even really imagine yourself to be. Isn't that sad? So you struggle to understand, you struggle to try and become, you struggle to do the right thing, and you don't even know who you imagine yourself to be.
No.
But, like we've said before, all of life in all of this makes sense only by who you imagine yourself to be. Nothing else is necessary.
Right.
Nope.
Because in living who you have, and the point of it is, you have imagined yourself to be something, but you don't know what that is. Because
right.
In coming to language life with all these beliefs, who you, wait a minute, wait just a minute here, hold the phone. Could who you imagine yourself to be, could that be described as an ego, a self-image? Are you, in your ego, are you aware of who it is you really, really, really imagine yourself to be? The problem is, you have to live this life. And could it be then, wait just a minute now, let's tie all this together. Could it be that when you're preparing, you are preparing to live who you imagine yourself to be? It's not a consequence, it's at all time everything you do. Who you imagine yourself to be is who you are preparing to be, which is who you was, which is who you are.
So we're doing it whether we choose it or by default. We should be doing it by choosing.
But by understanding this, you're not struggling to do the right thing to cause what you want to occur, to continue to prepare for something, which then puts the screws to everything.
Right.
Well, maybe we should stop there. Does anybody want to add to this or subtract from this?
Well, by even that way of not trying to live something, you're actually it eliminates the trying to put the constituents together to get an emergent. Everything is a constituent, for you're always having emergent all the time.
So when, as a privileged being, you declare, this is who I am, and you live that all along the way, that is who you am.
Yep.
Oh. And your life that you're preparing is the life that you are living.
Right.
Or the death that you are preparing for the life is actually the life you're living. So what you are doing today, like it or not, is the life you are preparing for yourself. Don't think that death is going to be a clean shower. It ain't going to happen. That it's going to resolve your problems. It ain't going to happen. You're preparing. What you are preparing and doing today is preparing for the life that is who and what you will be doing.
Right.
And if you try to do the right things, that really puts the screws to you.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, then you have to declare who you are and live self-evidently so. Well,
yep.
Patrick, should we leave it there?
I think so. I think it's you brought it together very, very nicely. Thank you for that.
Yeah, but are you now going to live it very, very nicely? Okay,
yeah.
Well, Andrew, are you okay with this?
Yes,
you don't have to say yes. You can say, hell no.
No, that whole language thing was a good catch. I mean, I'm pondering that.
But
the object that I'm preparing for, and I didn't think about just being preparing.
But maybe you begin to see how, and maybe you'll stop for a moment, is you have to declare and decide who you are, and then everything will make sense. You can declare it by imagining and saying, this is who I am. Imagining in that means that you clear yourself of the judgments, the language, the becausing, the becoming, the trying to be, and get down to an original story or eight things to know who it is you are. And then every part of your life will make sense. Until you do that, like Einstein says, well, nothing will make sense.
Right.
Well, okay.
That whole engaging discussion, dialogue, full of life, was our preparing for your birthday, but we didn't prepare for your birthday. So
that's fine. I didn't either. It creeped up on me. Besides, I prepared for 40, and 81 creeped up.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Happy birthday, Roger.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for you. Awesome.
Bye now.